I was advertised, or this next session was advertised as a two-hander. Unfortunately, my colleague Paul Elliott is unwell, so it's just me today. But I'll say up front that the Digital Archives Migration Methodology, which I'll be talking about, is very much Paul's work, and so the credit for much of the effort that's gone into the development of it is his. What I wanted to do today was run through the methodological approach that we are taking with you to the migration of digital records into the State Records Digital Archive. As many of you would know, this is a project that we commenced just over 2 years ago to put together the infrastructure, the tools and services and procedures that will support state records accepting, preserving and making available born digital records as state archives. It was a project that was a long time coming, and it's nearing its completion, which is very exciting. So we're still currently in project mode. We're still working on our pilot projects. But what we'll be doing in the next month is releasing this methodology to the sector and to the wider community as an exposure draft so that you can have a look at it and consider it in the context of records that potentially are required as state archives in your care, and look at what we're suggesting as the way that you would work with us to migrate them into the State Records Digital Archive. That will be happening during August, possibly a little towards the end of August, just depending on how we go, via all of the normal communication channels from State Records, via the Future Proof blog, and announced in For the Record and so on. But what I wanted to do today was give you a run-through of how we started to think about transferring records to state archives when they were digital, some of the sort of underlying principles that we decided early on, the development and the adjustment of this methodology as we worked on the pilot projects that taught us an awful lot about what would work and what wouldn't work. And I'll talk to you a bit about those pilot projects just to give you some sense of you know, real case studies. So the objectives in developing this methodology were really to put migration very much front and centre as a key strategy for digital continuity. That this is something that happens in digital systems all the time. It's a business requirement. And we see it as a key way that we can get involved as the archives in helping you to ensure that your business records are available and usable for as long as required, with the side benefit of some of those records ultimately being migrated into the state archives. We wanted to establish a structured framework to manage the migration of permanent value identified as state archives records to the digital archives. We wanted a framework that was flexible and scalable, recognising early on that digital state archives come in a wildly varied range of shapes and sizes. We wanted to ensure that we captured in the methodology the variety of professional methods or knowledge areas that actually are needed to manage a successful migration. And to make sure, ultimately, that the records that serve as our collective memory of New South Wales were preserved and accessible in the state archives. And I'd add to that that we wanted it to be, we felt very much early on that we wanted it to be a collaborative approach between state records and the agency, that this was necessary both in terms of making sure that we had the best outcome for the records, but also that the agency's needs were met as well as ours. The underpinning or underlying principles that we worked with, we've talked about these a fair bit in the Future Proof blog, for those of you that subscribe to or follow the blog. And in some of those posts, we explained why we thought that framing what you might think of in the paper world as transfers, as migrations, did a better job at capturing the complexity and the range of tasks that are involved in ensuring the safe movement, if you like, of records into a new environment. Transfer in the paper world has a range of skills and understandings that go with it, which are quite different for digital records. Certainly there are, you know, a certain, you know, a number of legal requirements and requirements under the Act that stand regardless, but when you get into the actual work of dealing with the records, it's a whole new ballgame. So we adopted an approach that considered these as migrations, and that's how we talk about them in terms of our projects. And indeed, we do talk about them as projects. We wanted to establish a framework that made sure we covered off not just the records requirements, but the requirements of resourcing, of managing risk, of timeframes, and ensuring that everyone's requirements were met. So project management offers a framework for us to do that. We adopted the, well, not adopted the principle, recognised early on that this needed to be flexible in the sense that each project would be different, not only because the records would be different, but because the New South Wales public sector consists of very, very large, well-resourced, I don't know, are there any well-resourced agencies anymore? Agencies with a lot of specialised staff, to very, very small agencies with few staff specialised in areas of ICT or records management, for example. So we needed to have a framework or a methodology that would cope with that variety of agencies. We wanted it to cope with what we call non-custodial arrangements. So we've been developing this methodology to be a migration methodology for digital records that can be deployed where the records may, in fact, remain within your agency. And that's for both scenarios down the track when we might explore digital state archives being managed outside of our custody. We're not there yet, but it is a something that is provided for under our Act and which we do in the paper world. So we needed the methodology to cope with that. And also just to be something that agencies could use for your own migrations where the records aren't required as state archives, but they're valuable business records and you want a good, robust methodology to migrate them and manage the process both from a record-keeping point of view and an ICT point of view. We wanted to adopt professional and ICT standards wherever possible within this methodology. And as I've already outlined, for different migration scenarios, not just archives. So we started developing this methodology in early 2012, and our focus very much at that time was on, you know, we need to look at a way to manage transfers of digital records to state records. We went about investigating different project management techniques, and so things like PRINCE2, which many of you probably come across in your working lives, Agile, which is primarily used in software development, and the mouthful of the Producer Archive Interface Methodology Abstract Standard, which is something that came out of the OAS standard, which is a very sort of particular set of rules around how you manage long-term digital information in an archive. It was actually developed by NASA for space data because they identified some years back that some of the data from space missions was incredibly long-term and wasn't being managed very well, and they developed a whole framework for these open archive information systems. This particular producer archive methodology had a lot of very useful tips on secure and trusted ways to put information into an archive and to access it out of an archive. So that was also a useful reference. So as I said, the early drafts of the methodology were very much around that particular scenario of how an agency can send digital records to us as state archives. And it also had a more prescriptive approach. So if you've ever looked at what is happening in digital archives in other jurisdictions, often there is a very sort of particular set of rules around what happens to records when they arrive at the archive. They all go through this process. They're all transformed in this way. Then they're all sent into this area and something else happens to them. There's a sort of sense of them all being normalised and put on this particular process. And that's fine. And in many ways, it is less labour intensive for the archive in that they've got a standard process that everything goes through. However, we had adopted understanding the range of different sorts of records we have and their requirements, as I said earlier, a case-by-case or project-by-project approach. And so we soon discovered that our methodology could not be so prescriptive in terms of the steps of what happened to the records. But what it could be prescriptive about and consistent about was the project management framework that sat around that. And so we gradually started pulling apart, I suppose, some of the technical tools and services for doing things with records, whether it was transforming formats or analysing metadata or moving records from one stage to another. We pulled those out of the methodology. We didn't bundle it up so closely with those technological elements, but rather had them there to be deployed as indicated for that particular project. And I'll sort of explain a bit more about what that means. So we conducted some stakeholder workshops within state records with our colleagues in archives control and management and government record keeping and public access in particular, and came out with a version that really split the methodology up into these three stages. And I've spoken at previous records managers forums about this three-stage approach, which consists of project startup, migration plan development, and then migration. And I will be talking a bit more about each of those. Having got to that point, we started to use the methodology with a range of pilot projects. And the idea was that we had a version of the methodology and we had our basic set of tools and services. We needed to road test them with some actual real records and real agencies, and so that's what we set about doing. And I'll talk about those pilot projects in a minute, but essentially some of the changes that we identified during that process were that the planning at the beginning was incredibly important and that was very much in partnership with the agency. That, and again, that touches on increased stakeholder involvement in projects. So making sure we have a good and close working relationship with the people that know the records best, the people from the agency. We needed more flexibility. So I think in the first instance when we were doing our planning, we kind of set ambitious timeframes and locked them in. And of course, you know, life and circumstances intervene. And often, as we all know, records projects get overtaken with other business priorities and suddenly the whole ICT department is off doing something else. And so you have to be able to accommodate that those different circumstances. And yes, and ensuring that the migration plan was tailored enough to that particular scenario. Just touching on that idea from earlier on that I mentioned that each one is different. Each set of records has its own needs. So since that sort of last year through to just recently, the methodology was adjusted and tinkered with, and Paul did a lot of work to incorporate a lot of the things that we learned in the pilots, and including he reframed the stages into phases because of that idea that we couldn't be so this happens, then this happens, then this happens. There is some bleed over or sort of flexibility in those stages, phases. and that throughout all of those phases, the people involved in the project are deploying a range of methods. And by that, he is referring to methods to do with project management. So there are people in state records and possibly people in the agency who have some skills in managing a project, identifying risks, setting timeframes, liaising with stakeholders. That there is, it's hard to read, methods around business management. So the people in the organisation who understand the business requirements relating to the records, the risks that the records in what they document actually entails, what it means for the agency, that information, how it could affect the agency's operations. So that goes to things like access, it goes to things like relationships with other record sets. So that's the business angle on the project. The information management methods are all to do with probably your bread and butter, the records management techniques and understandings about disposal, about access, about metadata, about the system that the records have come from. You know, is it a system that you owned and you know intimately, a TRIM system perhaps, or indeed, you know, is it a business system that you had a hand in setting up and ensuring had record keeping in it? So the information management methods are an important part of the whole methodology, and data migration management, and those are the elements of the project that are to do with or that draw on IT knowledge and skills, making sure that the process of migration is done in a way that the data elements that make up those records are securely and safely managed throughout. So to run through the phases that are in the methodology, phase one, project startup, involves the initiation so that can happen in a range of ways. Our experience has been that we have become aware of a set of records that are at risk because of administrative or technological change, and the agency has said, I believe these are actually required as state archives, but we can't support them anymore. This system is no longer in use, or the system is being decommissioned because this function has gone to another jurisdiction. Or indeed, we've had records that we've known that have been sort of on our books for a long time as ones that are eligible to be transferred or migrated to us as state archives, such as commissions of inquiry that have been run over many years. So in initiation, it's that sort of contact with agencies, conversations, working up towards establishing a formal project. The drafting of a project plan is done in partnership between state records and the agency and has to be signed off by both parties. And it's here where we really try to get a handle on, okay, you're a tiny agency with a very, very significant set of records. You've got no one at your end to manage this project or to put in many resources. You know, is there a way we can negotiate for state records to have more of a hand in it? On the other hand, there may be another instance where it's an agency that has resources and budget to be able to assist with perhaps preparing the records for the migration. Some agencies that we've worked with in pilots have had consultants assist in the process of actually getting the records ready to transfer to us. It's a matter of looking at available resources and skills and also mapping that against the significance and the urgency relating to that set of records. The migration plan then is where we actually look at how the records can best be migrated into our archive. So this is to do with looking at formats, data structures, metadata, disposal in the sense that some of these systems incorporate an awful lot of information which, if you look at the disposal class for required estate archives, it is in a sort of a more narrow component of that information. Not all of the information in the system needs to be migrated across. So working through that process of understanding which records are authorised to be migrated across and how you can do that in a way that doesn't impact on the integrity of the system overall. Access points. So looking at a record system and working out, okay, we understand the way people use this system now in the agency and potential public access interest. Can we make sure that while we're looking at this system now, we're not overlooking the fact that it is very useful to get a handle on what those access points are for future indexing and use purposes. And then to draft a migration plan, which actually documents all of those shared understandings, so we're all on the same page, and we've got a step-by-step process of what will happen with the records from the point within the agency right through to the point that they are securely stored in the archive, and we can confirm we've taken both custody and control of the records. And then the third stage is to actually, having had it approved, to carry out that plan. And like any good migration, to carry out testing, to make sure that what we're proposing actually works, that if we're suggesting a particular transformation of data in a database into an XML format, that is a valid XML format, that it can be reconstituted, to try that out before we move on to the next, to actually doing it for real. And it's important to note that the migration might happen in part in the agency, in part when the records are with us. So we've found actually to date with our pilots that by and large we have taken the records in a certain form, perhaps prepared to a certain extent by the agency, into our physical custody, where we've then done more work on them to prepare the migration plan. So we needed them with us and with a range of specialised tools that we have to analyse formats and so on and so forth before we could then complete the plan and complete the migration itself. So that's been an interesting thing that we've learned, that you don't just sort of do it all with the records there in situ and then it just sort of happens in a sort of one hit. It's a bit of a staged, you know, test and investigate before you then complete the whole migration. So some example scenarios, that's way too small, I'm sorry, might be, these scenarios are things that are included in the methodology just to give people an indication once again that this methodology is, yes, for the situations where, say, a system is being decommissioned or records are no longer required by an agency and are eligible for transfer to US state archives, but that there are other migration scenarios that you can use this methodology for that we needn't be involved at all. It's not our... we don't have a stake in it as far as capture of digital state archives. And so in the methodology document that is coming out, you'll see us explain that in more detail and give some other instances of where records may be at risk or may be needing to undergo a migration, where this framework methodology could be useful. Okay, so this is probably the more interesting... Well, no, it's all interesting, but it's always good to talk about actual cases. So we've got six pilot projects that we've been working on. They're all at varying stages of completion. The New South Wales Business Names Registration System project has been one that we've learnt an awful lot from, that has fed a lot into the development of the methodology, particularly on the project management side. So this project involves business registration information from around 1903 to 2012, including several million TIFF images of documents relating to business registration. The records were managed in the Business Registration System, BRS, and the Business Registration Imaging System, BRIS. So BRS was essentially an Oracle database and BRIS was a customised version of Objective. In the earlier stages of the project, the team, Paul and Richard, discovered, however, that there were also a range of physical records that comprised an important part of this system, if you look at a system in its largest sense. So a whole set of microfiche that had been stored at GRR for some years of business registration documents. And so Fair Trading said, look, we'd like to incorporate those in this project. So this became our first hybrid migration/transfer project. and that was very useful to test out the methodology to see if it could cope with that, and indeed it can, and our intention is that this methodology can be used where you do find you've got hybrid records to deal with, which we expect to happen a lot. Either something like that, where there are copies in physical format and digital format, or indeed mixed format files with electronic and paper components. So that project is still probably a little way off completion because of, you know, the range of stakeholders. Fair Trading, Department of Finance and Services, Service First, us, GRR within us, a whole range of people that have been involved, and so it's a matter of, and in fact we've had a few project management changes of personnel at the Fair Trading DFS side, so all of these things mean that, you know, you've just got to sort of take it step by step and get through it in a methodical way. The Thredbo Landslip Coronial Inquiry Database is the coronial inquiry itself was held in the year 2000 in the wake of the 1997 Thredbo landslip disaster. The inquiry included multiple parties, including the New South Wales National Parks and Wildlife Service, and this database is their database from that inquiry. So each party actually held their own database. This is the NPWS database, now the Office of Environment and Heritage. It's a Lotus Notes database. Some of you might know, remember, still use Lotus Notes as the records repository for its deliberations, including all papers, statements and transcripts. Auscript was used to locate and scan records from all parties, including internal parks and wildlife records. This was, we think, one of the earliest, if not the earliest, fully electronic inquiry of its type. And it's been retained ever since by now the Office of Environment and Heritage. And I think they would sort of agree that, you know, it was becoming increasingly difficult for them to deploy the resources to keep that system usable and accessible. And they had been very eager to migrate it into a more stable and long-term environment. So some of the things we learned in this project were how you go about capturing look and feel when you cannot migrate the operating system and software forward into your archive. We were not about to get a license for Lotus Notes or maintain a Lotus Notes year 2000 for perpetuity in the archive. So in migrating to an SQL type environment, we were very conscious of the need to capture the look and feel as records of, you know, the Lotus Notes and how people would have interacted, what it looked like, what the screens looked like for future users of those records. We needed to be very clear for the agency on what they needed to do with what we call the source record, so their instance of that database after migration, because they were very eager to switch off that server. But we have certain rules around retaining the source records for a minimum period of time for the sort of just-in-case scenario, essentially. We negotiate that with the agency in our migration plan. There's a default position under a GDA for source records of 6 months, but as I say, we negotiate that with the agency on a case-by-case basis. And we also identified with this project and learned a lot about using metadata for managing access, because, of course, it contains an awful lot of very sensitive information. The records of former Premiers Carr, Rees and Keneally. These were what we call our internal projects, because these are records that have found their way into our custody in recent years prior to us having a digital archives capability. And they've been good ones to work on and to bring in some of our colleagues from different parts of state records to help us with, because they're fairly discreet. The records are in not challenging structures in that they're not complex databases, but rather, for example, in the Keneally case, a set of around 700 media releases as PDFs. So they were good cases to trial some of our format identification and metadata extraction tools in a way that was, you know, not overly difficult to do. And so we have in these records, we do also have audio-visual, so clips that were uploaded to YouTube about, you know, Nathan Rees turning the sod on a new school project, or speeches, as I said, media releases. In the case of Bob Carr, the digital records are actually control records for paper archives that we hold in Word formats. And famously, written about this before, we have Nathan's tweets. So that's a very significant contribution to the State Archives collection. It is in the sense that he was the first tweeting premier, so that's important. And then another project that we have, and in the case of Threadbow and this set of records, we have them in the archive, in the Digital State Archives now, which is the Commission of Inquiry into Electricity Transactions, controlled by the Department of Premier and Cabinet. They had outsourced this system, both for the actual commission and then its ongoing management of the records, to a service provider, eLaw, who does a lot of these commissions and legal cases in terms of information management. So this was an interesting test of our approach in that in setting up the project, we had us, the agency, and the people actually looking after the records, eLaw, all needing to be involved in the process. So the Commission of Inquiry was the commission looking at the sale of electricity assets by the former Labor government. Involved multiple parties, mostly law firms, so the classification structure of the database, the relativity database, is basically a whole lot of law firm names and then all the documents that they provided to the commission. So we eventually worked through a process with eLaw whereby they provided us with all the metadata from the database as an XML extract, and then the over 40,000 document or items that related to that it was very exciting actually. They have the standard process of a sort of secure encrypted hard drive that they send via special courier who does special IT high security deliveries and dropped it off at the front gate, and it was all, you know, anyway, cheap thrills. But the challenges with this one have actually been around formats, both in terms of identifying and working out an appropriate long-term format. Some of the formats, fine, no problem. They're very standard PDFs, but there are a range of formats in that collection that we feel are high risk, and we need to create additional copies in better long-term stable access and preservation formats, and we're still working through selecting the best of those for those records. So that's given you, I guess, a flavour of both the methodology and some of the projects that we've been working on that have fed into its development. So what is coming next? As I said earlier, we're publishing the methodology this month, next month, August, as an exposure draft. And the team will be consulting with people who are already in our reference group for digital records, the Digital Records Advisory Group, consulting with the ICT community, and with a range of other people, and of course, receiving comments and questions from anyone within the sector who has them. We'll be continuing to work on those pilot projects. We want to work towards commencing our next round of projects. We are completing or working on our technological elements to support the methodology, which comprise primarily a dashboard for agencies to log into to start a project and to upload information and to progress through the stages, and also some of the tools and services for managing metadata, registering and managing metadata, for registering the choices we make about preservation conversions, so new preservation formats for troublesome older Microsoft formats, for example, into new formats, and a workflow controller, which is something that we're using in-house to guide a set of records through the migration process that we've designed specially for that set of records. So it's a customizable menu, if you like, of steps using XML as a sort of instruction guide that we configure and then point at the set of records to take them through the process that we've designed. All of those tools, by the way, are on our State Records New South Wales GitHub account. If you're interested in open source software, you can always go and have a look at those. And on more guidance and advice flowing on from the publication of the methodology. During this period, I should note the digital archives will be working at a slightly reduced capacity because we're in a period of staff changeover, but the valiant Paul and Richard will be there to answer your questions and respond to feedback about the methodology, and we'll be back up to a more normal set of staff by the end of the year to complete all of that work. So that concludes the run-through about the digital archives methodology.